Opportunity to welcome our honorable members and also our the management team of the committee, the media personnel that is with us, the agenda. Can you flag the agenda for that?
Enrico?
But just to emphasize the fact that while the team is trying to fly to the agenda, I think what is critical to us, honorable members, is our agenda for today. Agenda is the consideration and adoption of the Civil Aviation Amendment Bill at number Bill number 44B of 2018, which is Section 75. Bill, you will remember that we had in terms of the process, the briefing that we received from the department, and the date on which it was referred to us. Remember that it was referred to us on the 11th of May, and then the committee was briefed on the 25th of August, and then we then invited comments on the bill in terms of the rules and regulations, which instructed us to then consider those comments. And last week on the 17th of November, that was when we dealt with the comments. I mean, with the comments from the public. Therefore, it will be quite critical just to get a sense from the members, having had an opportunity to be the audience of a meeting where the comments were tabled by the three entities. What we'll then do is to get a sense from the members in terms of whether are there any other issues that the members would want to make a reflection on this bill. I'll invite members of the public. Tim, your hand is up, you can take the floor.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I've had the chance to read through the minutes and the annexure, which shows all the comments and the department response, and I'm comfortable with that. What does concern me, though, is that in the minutes, I don't know if Rebecca could bring the minutes up, but there is a section there where Advocate Jenkins commits to providing comment on, I think, three separate issues. And I don't see his comments anywhere in that annexure. And I don't know if our process is complete without his input. That's the issue I wanted to raise. Chair, thank you.
Thank you, thank you, Tim. Mr. Jenkins is on the floor. I know that there is an advice that was circulated from the committee secretary to myself. I just check as to whether was it also distributed to the members. Let's get clarity first from Rebecca, and then we then give Jenkins, Sir Jenkins, an opportunity to to just take us through to what he has advised us on.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, indeed, Advocate Jenkins provided a response which was circulated to members.
Thank you, thank you. I suspect it myself, it might have fallen through the cracks of your part of your documents, Honorable Chief, but be that as it may, let us allow Mr. Jenkins just to give feedback to the committee.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning. Good morning, Honorable members and colleagues. Chairperson, the question that was posed to me was to look at the search and seizure provisions in the amendment to the Act. The amendments are there, but they don't really change the way the Act is at the moment concerning search and seizure. And what I think the concern was is that when it comes to search and seizure, and people have everyone has a right to privacy. That includes companies and so forth. So the right to privacy needs to be balanced against the right to enforce the law through search and seizure provisions. Now, the provision in the bill pertains only to incidents and accidents, aircraft incidents and accidents. So, and that is where an investigator who is then appointed has the power to search and seize. In fact, the investigator also has powers in terms of the Criminal Procedure Act to arrest people in that investigation. So, Chair, I find that compliant and in line with the Criminal Procedure Act. And I compared it to what we did a few years ago in 2017 with search and seizure when we dealt with the Financial Intelligence Center Amendment Act. But there we dealt with search and seizure of private properties as well that is being used, that are not licensed, where people are busy with work from their private properties. And in those instances, there's a very high expectation to protect the right to privacy. When it comes to licensed, sort of regulated premises, the right to privacy gets a little bit limited. And when it comes to, in my view, aircraft accidents and incidents like we have here, I think that right to privacy is really is very small, because as we see in the Act, you can even then see certain medical records for obvious purposes because it's an accident or incident. So, Chair, I find the provision in the bill is constitutionally compliant. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Jenkins. Honorable Tim, did you get the clarity as provided by Mr. Jenkins in terms of Section 34, because the advice relates to areas that were brought to our attention emanating from Section 34 of the Act, as you correctly pointed out. That section deals with the aspect of an aircraft accident and how the inspector interfaces with the accident within the context of the search and seizure of the property without a warrant on certain grounds. I think that was the thrust of the matter. And like as you have pointed out, there is no tension between the bill and what is provided in the Criminal Procedure Act. And hence this, the proposition put forward is that the bill is constitutionally compliant. I think that is quite critical. What about you, Tim?
Okay, thank you. And thank you to Advocate Jenkins. If I quote from the minutes, however, there are two other areas which Advocate Jenkins this morning has not commented on. The second one, so the search and seizure, thank you very much for that clarity. But then there was conflict of interest in the appointment of the Director of Investigation of the Aviation Safety Board. That was the second one. and the consistency of routing legislation, the use of the aerodrome and airport in the bill. I believe that's what Advocate Jensen was going to comment on. So if we can just get comment on those two other issues, then we can move forward. Thanks.
Chair,
I'm assuming the minutes are reflecting that correctly. So I'm reciting from the minutes.
Yes, let's first go back to Fubeka just to get a sense in terms of his interface with Advocate Jenkins on this matter, so that we don't throw him under the bus. Fubeka?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, we did interact with Advocate Jenkins telephonically after the meeting last week about all these matters. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Let's try to go back to the minutes so that at least we are able to be on one with the team on the areas where we needed, because there will be areas where the advice was provided by Mem Chair. Let's just go. Which area are you referring to, Tim?
If you go down to, just carry on scrolling there, Klubeka. Right, if you stop there, please, just stop there. The last paragraph. It said that Advocate Jenny indicated there were three provisions that he would comment on in detail in the bill and report back to committee. Then it lists the three provisions. So the first one is the search and seizure that Advocate has commented on. Then it's conflict of interest in the appointment director investigations of the Aviation Safety Board. And then it's the consistency in writing legislations. And in parenthesis, the use of aerodrome and airport, which you remember this, that was raised by a number of the persons giving comments. So it's just those two aspects. I don't know if Advocate Jenkins has done that. I do apologize if this slipped past me, Chair, because the past few days have been bombarded like crazy by Madia and Enrico and Rebecca with Nazipo, who we've been getting a huge amount of stuff. But if I can just get clarity on those issues, I just think that it's right that we make sure the minutes are complied with, you know, the things that we say in the minutes are done.
Yes, yes. I think
and Chair, at least you know I read the minutes.
definitely. Because we will have instances where the Mem Chair, particularly on the issue of the director and the conflict of interest, I thought enough clarity was given on that by the department. Remember, in terms of what we have before us, which will be important probably just to also flight. Fubeka, just those areas that were raised by the three presenters and the comments that were provided by the department, particularly Mrs. Mche. I thought on the issue of the director and also the issue of the conflict of interest, there was more clarity given on that. Let's probably check with other members what is their impression on this. Yeah.
Sorry, Chair, if I may.
Yes.
I see Advocate Jenkins is with us. Can we just get an answer from him as to whether he did consider those aspects? And if he did not consider them, then we must alter the minutes, because the minutes clearly indicate that Advocate Jenkins was going to comment on those three issues. So yes, I'm just asking for that.
Yes, definitely.
But maybe the whole problem will be solved if we just ask Advocate Jenkins.
Yes. Yes, Advocate Jenkins.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the issue of consistency, the use of aerodrome and airport, I went through the bill on that, like we did in the National Assembly. My view is that, look, the definitions of aerodrome includes airplane or aircraft. And in every year and there in the bill, we still have to use that. So I don't find that inconsistency is there and will create uncertainty with the bill. I think it's correct as it is. I went through those provisions. The issue of a conflict of interest by the commissioner or the director, commissioner as it's going to be in terms of the bill, being appointed, I think that one was answered by the department. I looked at the department's answer. Their answer pertained to the level of accountability and the nature of the aviation authority, because they can't establish an entity because of the money issue concerning there. So, Chair, as I understand it, that it is a situation where there might be a conflict of interest. There might be an investigation that then turns back to negligence with the appointment body or something like that. But it will not per se be like that. So when I looked at that and from the department's input last week, Chair, I think there's a possibility of a conflict of interest. But in those instances, it would be for the commissioner from an ethical point of view to show that conflict of interest and to make a recommendation that somebody else, maybe an independent body, does the investigation. But Chair, whether that's possible, I doubt, because at the moment that is the mandate of the aviation authority to do those investigations and to appoint people there. So Chair, I don't find the per se as a conflict of interest, but there's a threat to that, and one will have to look at that and. I mean, if I can mention that, Chair, that is why we have the reports coming then also to Parliament when those reports come. So Parliament can also then play what is called the line of defense to look at those issues of conflict of interest, Chair. So, yeah, thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Advocate Jenkins, for that. That was my impression too on those two issues. Honourable members, that's the clarity provided by Advocate Jenkins. Are you happy with that,
Narochin? Chair, I'm just concerned, and maybe just Advocate Jenkins just guide us here. I'm concerned that we are creating legislation that creates, even though at a minimal level, a possible conflict of interest. And then we're relying on the ethics of the people involved. And you can't legislate ethics. So I don't know if that's a sticking point. I will really take the advice of Advocate Jenkins because he's, you know, I will bow to his superior knowledge. But is this something that we should not be concerned about? And Chair, will you make it clear that my colleagues in the NA support this bill and we will support it, but I'm just concerned about this one minor sticking point. If Advocate Jenkins says that it's such a minor risk that it's not something to worry about, then that's fine. But if we could just get his comment about how real this danger is, because it just seems that we're building a house with a defect in it, and I'm just concerned about that. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you. Thank you, team, for appreciating the advice from Advocate Jenkins. And currently, we have expressed. A view that you have, the view that we need to be a bit cautious with, but at the same time expressing that let's move for the support of the bill. I've seen three heads, Mr. Mabazo, and then Honorable Dango, and then Honorable Khai. Mr. Mabazo?
Chair, can we go before him?
Okay, Honorable.
I agree with the honorable team and the Advocate Jenkins on his advice. But what I wanted to check, which I think Mr. Mabaso could also talk to, is whether there will be a regulation for this act, and if yes, then could we have this area then tightened in the regulations? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Khai. Honorable Dango.
Chairperson, I'm covered by Honorable Khai. I was going to raise the same point.
Thank you. Thank you. Honorable Dango. Sambabazo.
Thanks, Honorable Chair, for giving me the floor, and good morning. I just want to clarify one thing. Perhaps then it's a mistake on how it is covered in the minutes. It's not the Director of Investigations, it's the executive responsible for accident and incident investigations. So this is an employee of the CAA. And if you check on the bill, this person is not given any responsibility when it comes to that chapter. It's that the investigators who will be investigating the accidents are in the employ of the CAA. And in terms of the labor legislation and the reporting lines, they report to the executive responsible for accident and incident investigation. So that's why then the bill provides for an MOU, which will be entered between the ASIB and the Director of Civil Aviation, that will talk to how the executive responsible for accident and incident investigation will manage those investigators who would have been assigned to investigate an accident, a particular accident when it happens. So the responsibilities have been given to ASIB. It's just that they will use the resources employed by the CAA because they do not have the resources to employ their own investigators. So if you check on the bill, there is no particular responsibility given to this person. So that's why then the employment part of his or her employment by the CAA is not covered in the B. So if that could be cleared, I think then it will take care of the concerns raised by the members. And then as for the regulations, we currently do have the civil aviation regulations, which will be the regulations which now, when after passing of this bill, then those regulations, some of the provisions will have to just beef them up, and then there will be now the regulations under the new act. So it's not that we will start from scratch developing the regulations. We already, and when we further develop the regulations now, we do it in mind that we are going to adopt this current regulations into the new act. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mavazo, for that elaboration. And with that, members, can we then put the civil aviation amendment bill to the committee for approval?
Chairperson, I move for the approval thereof.
Chairperson?
Yes, Sibela?
Before, I would like to take members on the procedure.
Yes, yes, I think that's important.
Yes, yes, yes. Before then, at least we adopt this bill. As Chairperson, as we are, as this bill is section 75, so in terms of the quorum, in terms of rule 155, subsection 3, what we need is, it says here, when a question is to be decided in terms of section 75 of the Constitution, the question may be decided only if majority of the permanent members of the committee is present. That is number A. B, the question is decided by the majority of the vote cast. C, if there is an equal number of votes on each side of a question, the chairperson must cast deciding vote. in addition to the vote as ordinary member. Dina. Yes. So, Chairperson, in terms of the number,
I'm in parliamentary meeting. I can't join.
Chairperson, that's hold on. That's hold on for better because I can't join the meeting. It's disrupting our meeting. My apologies, Honorable Dango. Can you just probably mute? Yes, that's better.
So, in terms of the number members present in this meeting this morning, we got 8 members, which will satisfy the quorum. So, members will be voting, you know, per member, not per province. That is number one. The next part, Chairperson, it will be on the committee report, which I will deal with it when we flag the committee report.
Okay, that's fine. Let's then put the item to the committee for approval, and members can do that by indicating on the by using your raise your hand option to vote in favor.
I will request Enrico now to put the report.
Honorable Chairperson.
Yes, Mr. Ori.
Are you starting to vote?
Yes.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I vote in favor of the bill.
Thank you. Can you check with Honorable Dango what is happening there? Because he was speaking while we were still on a meeting.
Yeah, I know. I move in favor of the bill as well, Chairperson. I second that. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, other members. Can we then have those that are dissenting? Did you note the numbers, Fibega?
Yes, Chairperson.
I think maybe members have forgotten to take their hands down from the first
one. Yes, Honorable Boshoff voted in favor. Yes, thank you.
I'm sure Honorable.
So we have the majority. Just indicate those numbers together.
The numbers are 8. It's can I read the members' names?
Yes.
Honorable Mushodi, Honorable Dango, Honorable Khai, Honorable Boshoff, Honorable, I saw Honorable Londa. I just want to confirm this is still in the meeting.
Honorable who?
Londa.
Yes, I'm talking about those who voted.
No, but I just want to confirm if Honorable Londa is still in the meeting.
Yes, Honorable Londa, are you still here? Looks like it's not.
Not.
It means we are 7.
Honorable Mama Rekhane. Then it's you, Chair, and Honorable Matebul.
Yes.
I'm here.
Honorable Binkosi is also here. Thank you.
I'm sorry about that.
Yes.
And me, Honorable Bradashit. Support.
Yes. Did you note those that voted in favor, Sipega?
Yes. Can I just check because I didn't see the hand of Honorable Matebula and also Honorable Aplen.
Thank you very much, Sipega. We are voting in favor of the bill.
Okay.
Thank you. So therefore, the majority agrees to vote in favor of the bill. We don't have anyone that is voting against. Then that's the report. Honorable members, are we adopting the report? Is it better?
Yes, Chairperson Enrico, can you go down? Go down again. Thank you, Chairperson.
That's the end.
That's the end. That's so we'll take the B because there is no minority views expressed. So we'll take this one out. Then what is going to then it is, that's what the committee is recommending to the council.
Yeah, but I think what we must just probably do, maybe as number five, that's the thrust of what the bills entail, so that when the report is 80 seats, people can understand the thrust, members can understand the thrust of the of what the bill is trying to obtain. And then number six will be then the committee agreed to the bill without any proposed amendment. Thank you. That's the proposal. I don't know if whether our members are comfortable with that.
Yes.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Chair. I'm concerned about five. I'll tell you why. If you look at the minutes and the annexure minutes, it shows all the comments from the participants and the department's response. And there were a couple, there were a few suggestions which were acknowledged by the department and said that the changes would be made. Now, I'm assuming that those changes have been made. And so I think the line that says the committee agrees to the bill without any proposed amendments, it should read, committee agreed to the bill with certain proposed amendments. And maybe those can be noted, because there's definitely in that schedule, the department says we agree with that and the relevant changes are made. So I think it should reflect that. Saying without any proposed amendments gives the impression that everything that the participants said last week was rejected. And I think that would be an incorrect reflection, because some of the matters were entertained.
Yes, honourable members, can we get views from honourable members in terms of what honourable Tim is saying?
Don't you, Chair?
Yeah, thank you, honourable Hai.
Maybe honourable Tim can clarify for us which sections in the bill that we made amendments to. I know there were questions of clarities which were clarified, but they did not fundamentally change the text of the sections of the bill. So that's why I would like to be reminded, because my understanding is that we did not propose any amendment except that we asked questions for clarity. And some of them are those that Advocate Jenkins clarified. But they did not fundamentally propose anything different in terms of the sections of the bill.
I thought maybe what we could do to accommodate the point that we are making, let's agree that we say that the committee agreed to the bill, so that at least there's no confusion. That could be emanating from the meeting. Definitely number of areas were raised, responses were given, we sought advices were given, hence the convergence of views around the move to adopt the bill. So the only thing that I was raising is, it's always important that when we compile a report that there must be 80 seats, at least on the face of it, members of parliament must be able to get a sense in terms of what is the thrust of this bill that we are recommending to the House to be adopted. But beyond that, I think I'm happy with the inputs that a lot of members are making.
If I can clarify,
Yes, yes, Tim.
So on page 13 of the minutes, the second comment, it says the definition of airport manager. That's the comment, and the department says agree with the comments. And then later on, it says the division of the definition of airport manager should therefore be replaced with the following definition, and it spells out what the definition is. That it should be aerodrome manager means any person appointed in writing by the owner or management of the aerodrome. So that there is a concession. Then on page 14, where it says the expression designated the airport appears in section 1 of the principal act. Department then there says agree with the comments to address the situation. The following amendments are proposed, and it lists one and it gives a whole lot of information there, and it refers to various subsections, and I think those were the only ones, Chair. But the thing is, those were comments that were given to the process. And the department agreed. So I do believe that we should just in the minutes just reflect that some amendments were made as a result of the comments.
Okay.
That's all I'm wondering.
Yes, I'm more interested in terms of now the implication of that in terms of the bill. Honorable Khai can probably say one or two on that, and then we give the committee secretary and the legal advisors just to clarify.
Sure, Chair.
Yes.
Sure, Chair. Then there's another one on page 22 of the document where the department also agrees in relation to the convention relating to offences and other acts committed on board of the aircraft from the 1962 Tokyo Protocol. There's also an agreement there to an amendment. So all I'm saying, Chair, is that we can't say without any amendments because it appears that some amendments were made as a result of our engagement. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. I think let's take out the word without any proposed amendments. Let's just say the committee agreed to the bill so that those issues that Tim you are picking up from the minutes, which obviously are quite critical, but obviously now create tension in terms of the thrust of what we have agreed upon. Let's probably get one or two speakers on this and then we close it.
Jay, sorry, can I just say one other thing? And I'm sorry to belabor the point.
Yes.
I just think it's a credit to us, Jay.
Yes.
That persons were invited to our committee. They gave their comments in good faith, and the department in good faith considered those comments and found them to be valid. That is part of the parliamentary process, and I think it's a feather in our cap as well, that process actually works.
100% correct, Tim. Sibela?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, well, I think Honorable Khai has already responded on this one, that on the issue of amendments as such, if we have to put in the report, and also then you also also try to come up with an intervention that we on number 5 then at least we just revisit to say that the committee agreed to the bill, then at least we leave, the proposed amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. I think let's get to conclusion on this matter by agreeing that definitely, like as Honorable Khai has indicated, there are a number of areas that definitely could be taken good care of by the regulations. There are regulations, but by virtue of this bill, there's gonna be a re-look in terms of the regulations that might have to be reviewed to take into account the new development in relation to the bill. and to also ensure that the regulations, because of subordinate status to the Principal Act, will take care of those issues. Can we then agree that we amend paragraph 5 to say the committee agreed to the bill? If members agree with that, then we are fine. Can we get a mover?
I think because it's a report, I think we'll have to vote for it as well. I don't know why Strupeka is not advising on that. So we'll do the same thing we did with the adoption of the bill. So we raise our hands.
Yeah, can in the light of that guidance, honorable members, then invite members to use the right to hand option to move for the adoption of the report?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Moshoji, vote in favor of the report.
Thank you, Honorable Members. Just to check, is there any dissenting view? This is the hands that supported the move to adopt the report. Thank you, honorable members. You can lower your hands. The report is hereby agreed to. Can we then move to the next item on the agenda, which is the adoption of the minutes of the regulation 116, the one that maybe right. just to elaborate on one point on that, you'll remember that this regulations, is this the last minute, Strupeka?
Chairperson, remember we have got three sets of minutes that.
Okay, let's start with this one then.
Yeah, the 8th of September.
Yes. Let's check at the attendees. Any correction on that? This is our guest. This is the committee staff. Apologies. And then the thrust of the issues that emanated from Praza's presentation, 3.1 up to 3.5. And then those are the committee observations. Can you just pause there? Are members comfortable with 4.1, 4.2, 4.3? Any amendment to that? 4.4, 4.5, 4.6. So surprised that after this meeting now the CEO is suspended. Can we then, if members are happy, get a sense as to whether are there any corrections to be made? In the absence of any correction, can we then get a move for the adoption of the minutes through reflection?
I move, Chair.
Second.
Thank you.
But we also commend the secretary. The minutes are now at least detailed.
Thank you, honorable guy. I want to believe that.
Minutes of the 10th of November.
10th of November is our next set of minutes. Those are the honorable committee members that were in attendance. has done the departmental staff and then the committee staff. That is the minutes that dealt with the draft regulation 116A in terms of section 75.6. Those are the apologies, the thrust of the presentation. Issues raised by honorable members following the presentation under comments and deliberations. Open one up to 4.7. Those are the issues that were canvassed thoroughly by honorable members. Is there any correction, members? In the absence of any correction, can we then get a mover for the adoption of the minutes? I want to believe that members are able to see succinctly that the issues that they raised to the effect that they were not covered are now clearly covered. You can see the report with regard to railway line, East London and Berlin, Springs, Randfontein, and can be then can we then get a mover for the adoption of the minutes in the absence of any other point to raise?
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Mushodi, I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you, Honorable Mushodi. Can you get a seconder?
A second, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Dango. Maybe just as a matter of arising point from this one, the Parliament is still conversing the advice on the issues that were raised around certain practicalities. Thank you, Mama Rakhane. So once we have been able to get that advice from Parliament, we will again come back to the committee. We've agreed with the committee secretary that the issues that were raised, that were raised by committee members are quite critical, and lest the parliamentary legal services do thorough work, and once that has been done, definitely the department will have to be invited again to the committee. But we must admit the fact that the key issues that were canvassed by members open a number of areas that even the department is appreciating should have been taken good care of. So we agree that as a matter of arising point, we're still waiting for the parliamentary legal services to come back to us, but correctly so through the committee secretary. And myself as the chair, we're able to have a number of engagement with the parliamentary legal services. Thank you. Can we then get to the next set of minutes?
17 November, I'm sorry.
I want to believe that this one, Honorable Tim, has thoroughly conversed our views on the minutes. those were the committee members that were in attendance last week, Honorable Members. It was indeed to consider comments in relation to the Civil Aviation Amendment Bill. Those are the apologies that we received and the guest in attendance. The parliamentary staff that supported us, and also the media team from the communications section of the parliament. Opening remarks and also the apologies, and then the presentation. Thank you, honorable members. Any correction on that? In the absence of any correction, can we then get a move for the adoption of the minutes as a true reflection of what transpired in the last committee meeting of the 17th of November?
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Mushuri, I move for adoption of the minutes.
Thank you, Honorable Mushuri, for moving. Can we get a seconder?
Honorable Khai, seconding.
Thank you, Honorable Khai, for seconding the adoption of the minutes as a true reflection of what transpired in the opportunity that we had to entertain comments from the public, and which assisted us as a committee definitely then to formally recommend for adoption this bill to the House. Thank you. Next item on the agenda, Fibega.
I know we are done, Chairperson, for the day.
Thank you, Fibega. Honorable members, let me then, having exhausted all our items on our agenda for today, take this opportunity to express a word of gratitude as a chair on behalf of the committee to the brilliant work that members did to ensure that this amendment to the Civil Aviation Act is indeed formally recommended to the initial Council of Province for adoption. Your discipline and your attendance is always highly appreciated. And we hope that we continue to ensure that as the committee members, we are able to achieve our targets in terms of performance as a committee. Thank you, honorable members. The meeting stands adjourned, not forgetting a word of gratitude also to the committee staff and also our representation from the department. Thank you. And
may I request Honorable Jenkins to remain?
Honorable who?
And Shamara.
Who are you requesting to remain?
Advocate Jenkins.
Okay. No, thank you. Let us excuse ourselves. Thank you.